The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, Iran's foreign ministry has dismissed Donald Trump's claim that Tehran has asked for a ceasefire, calling it false and baseless. Earlier today, Donald Trump took to Truth Social to say that the Iranian president had asked for a ceasefire. And for more on this, I'm joined by David Blevins, US correspondent with Sky News. David, little did you know, I'd say, when you took the job, how busy you were going to be. Firstly, what exactly has Donald Trump said today in terms of the Iranians and what he is suggesting that they have asked for?
Well, President Trump is claiming, Ciara, that Iran has asked for a ceasefire. And while they are suggesting that is baseless, it's our understanding that the request may have actually gone in the opposite direction, that President Trump authorized Vice President J.D. Vance to reach out through intermediaries yesterday and suggest to Iran that he was willing to consider a ceasefire if certain conditions were met, including the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, the world's busiest oil shipping route. So it may actually have been prompted by the White House rather than something that has come from Iran. I think it's also worth stressing that in a phone call with Reuters this morning, the president has also suggested that the US will be out of Iran, in his words, pretty quickly. So this definitely has a feeling of off-ramp about it now, which has been one of the options for a very long time.
Okay, yes, and lots of people are saying that he's been looking for an off-ramp and perhaps this is it. So you're hearing that the boot is entirely on the other foot, that it isn't that Iran is calling for a ceasefire, it is that the US has reached out and suggested that it would like a ceasefire. But yet the president is claiming the opposite entirely, which would be kind of in keeping indeed with his ways, I suppose, and his methods of operation.
Yes, because it's not just a war militarily, it's a war in terms of propaganda, certainly during this administration in the White House. And, you know, many people would say it's foolish to try and second guess President Trump, but on the basis of him posting that they want a ceasefire and that there is this suggestion that actually he is the person who has floated the idea of a ceasefire, perhaps we begin to see the shape of this address to the nation coming later tonight. Because if he is talking in terms of a potential ceasefire and talking about the US being out of Iran pretty quickly, that doesn't sound like a man who is about to announce a ground invasion, which has been one of the concerns because of the significant build-up of US military personnel in the Middle East.
Yeah, and David, we can't really tell, can we? I mean, it does look like the actions and the words don't match up in this, that the US troops are still on their way towards the region. Some of them are there already. And yet this is the kind of language that's coming from the US, that perhaps ceasefire and out of Iran quickly and all of that. Should we be believing his words or should we be believing his actions?
I think so often... Well, that's a very good question. It is as much about the actions as about the words. But so often we are relying on sources close to the administration rather than what is being posted on Truth Social. And call me a cynic, but I think the timing of the posts on Truth Social is relevant as well. Until recently, President Trump used to do all of his posting late at night. During the course of this war, he has taken to posting very early in the morning. And it is usually just before or just after the markets open. So I think that tells us there is an economic dimension to all of this, as well as what's going on militarily on the ground. But of course, as well as perhaps being prepared to suggest the war is nearly over, which is where I think he's going to go tonight. I think he's going to stick to this 2 to 3 week time frame. He's also going to have a real go at NATO, clearly.
Yeah, and moving on to NATO, he has obviously said today that he's strongly considering removing the US from NATO. What is the reaction within the US been to that?
Well, he has, in that interview with Reuters this morning, again, come back to this, talking about expressing his disgust. That's the word he uses tonight in this address towards NATO. And he says he is absolutely, again, I'm quoting the president, considering withdrawing the US from NATO. Ciara, it's not the first time, of course, he's made that threat. He threatened to do that during his first term and was doing it as recently as January past, when NATO didn't row in behind him, when he claimed that he had the right right to seize Greenland. But there are real issues for him in terms of Congress around that. As legislation currently stands, it's impossible for the president to withdraw the United States from NATO. It would take 2/3 of the Senate. He hasn't got those numbers, or it would take new legislation. But I think the real concern we're hearing from members of Congress is that while he doesn't have the power to pull the US right out of NATO, he could do it significant damage. For example, he could withdraw US troops from European bases. He could cut funding to NATO. He could say he's no longer going to apply Article 5, for example. So all of those things raise questions, especially when you're talking about a president who is as unpredictable as Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, and it would also raise questions, of course, about the Russian issue. If the US didn't have a presence in those bases here in Europe, what that would mean for European security, that obviously is important. David, I asked you what people were saying about NATO, but what are people saying about the situation in Iran in the US at the moment? Is there support among ordinary people for any of this? I suppose they're only hearing certain aspects of what's going on.
A very good question, Kira. Lots of people ask us about what the strategy is in terms of the war in Iran. Well, there is no coherent strategy that I can see clearly, but the one thing that is crystal clear is that the president's polling is through the floor, the lowest figure of any president at this point in this second term, and that is largely because of the economic impact of the war. Even in red states, they are now paying up to and over, in some cases, $4 a gallon of petrol. This is the president who claimed he was coming in to address the cost of living issue. The president who promised them he would not send their sons and daughters anywhere near the front line, wouldn't get engaged in any more foreign wars, always very critical of his predecessors for doing so. So I think he is losing support and losing it quickly. The one place it is holding, interestingly, is among his own MAGA base. But perhaps it's very hard to admit that perhaps you made the wrong call.
Yeah, that's very interesting indeed. That I imagine those low polling figures for a man with as an ego as brittle as Donald Trump are not going down well. Are they fake news?
Yes, he is using that term a lot. But interestingly, Iran is quoting that back at him in terms of the statements he's making, including around the recent post suggesting that it's Iran looking for a ceasefire. But it is midterm election year, so it is going to be causing him a concern. And he has to think about that now, how he gets himself out of this situation. And I think it is perhaps that polling and the criticism at home, the concern among the domestic audience, really, it will be the reason that he doesn't proceed to put troops on the ground in Iran. You may have to come back to me the next day or two and say I got that completely wrong, but I'm putting my neck on the line right now and saying I don't think that's where he's going, because I think he's going to be so concerned about that polling. He's going to claim they've almost won this war. That's why he's talking about a ceasefire. He's going to claim they've achieved most of their objectives. Even if he hasn't achieved the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, he thinks that's NATO's problem anyway. And then say, we've done this on our own, and that's why I no longer support NATO.
Yeah, I would imagine those midterm elections are looming large for many in the Republican Party who have seats that are not necessarily safe, and certainly the back of all that domestic economic strife is going to be an issue for them all. David, the energy crisis that has been caused by the US and the Israeli attacks on Iran, they have caused a global energy crisis, and they haven't dismantled the nuclear program. They haven't brought about regime change, and they haven't destroyed Iran's military capabilities. So none of the original objectives have been reached. And now, we are looking at countries doing things like free public transport and working from home days and driving cars alternate days and all of this in the fallout. The capital that the US has burnt with its putative allies is enormous here. Does that figure in any of this, do you think, for this presidential administration?
I don't think it features in the mind of the administration. It's certainly a concern for people on Capitol Hill, including for many Republicans, of course, because even Republicans were expressing concern earlier in the year when he was making these drastic threats against Greenland, suggesting he was perhaps going to seize it. Well, they're equally concerned when he is making statements like he has this week, saying
he's more or less said, we've broken
bomb
it, but you can fix it, is how I would view his rhetoric on the Strait of Hormuz.
Absolutely. And the other thing I think that is causing people concern on Capitol Hill is when he says things like, I'm going to target civilian infrastructure in Iran, talking about the not just oil plants, but also water desalinization plants, the water treatment plants. That obviously under international law would be deemed as a breach. But when Caroline Leavitt, his press secretary, was asked about that this week, she was very dismissive of the question. She said that the US always operates within the confines of the law, but, and I thought that was, the but was doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence, but the president will move forward in pursuit of his objectives. So it's that kind of language, as well as what's happening economically, that is causing people concern, Kira.
Look, thank you much as ever, David. That is David Blevins, our US correspondent from Sky News.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.